1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial, providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete at 342-6272.
What's your next dream? Paying off your credit card? Remodeling your kitchen? Exploring the rainforests of Costa Rica? Whatever your dreams, they take some planning. And State Farm agent Pete Euler is right here in Emporia to lend a hand. As your local good neighbor, he can help you look at the things you want to save for and come up with a plan to make those savings goals happen. Because your money should work just as hard as you to achieve your dreams. So whether it's being free of debt or free to roam the world, call State Farm agent Pete Euler in Emporia today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KVOE News time is 8:30, which makes it Newsmaker 2 time here today, and we're pleased to have with us a number of Newman Regional Health administrators for a variety of topics here this morning. We have Heather Elward. Heather, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We have Esther Knobloch joining us as well. Esther, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us today.
It's good to be here.
Good. And Stephen Bazan joining us this morning. Stephen, how are you?
I'm excellent. Good morning to you, Chuck.
Awesome. Well, Steve, I'm going to let you frame at least to get us started here. Because
absolutely.
we have three different topics.
Yes.
All really kind of wide-ranging.
Yeah,
we have a bit of a wide-ranging conversation in the next 15 minutes. But
well,
we've got some good stuff to talk about.
I think it's a community hospital fruit basket. Okay. So one, we have things, just good news that we want to share as we come to this time of year annually. We have what's called a Daisy Award, which Heather will talk about. So we want to talk about that and celebrate that. We also just received our trauma, the first steps of our trauma accreditation that we've had for 6 years, and Esther will talk about that. Very, very detailed process that we have to undergo that we subject ourselves to that she'll talk about. And then I'm here also to talk about, and we all can, just the recent news in our community about what we're doing with the text change and any questions that you guys have that I could bring more clarity to.
Okay, sounds good. Well, yeah. Heather, let's get us started here on the Daisy Award, because you have a big celebration that is fast approaching.
We do. This Sunday, November 12th at 6 p.m., we're going to be giving away our fourth Daisy Award at Newman Regional Health. We started the program 2 years ago.
And what is a Daisy Award? What is it, Heather?
So Daisy, I'll just give you the acronym. Daisy stands for Disease Attacking the Immune System, and it was founded in 1999 by the family of Patrick Barnes. He was in the hospital for the last 8 weeks of his life and passed away. And his family knew that, you know, they would expect great quality care, but they didn't expect to grow such close relationships and feel kindness and compassion from the nurses. So they wanted to do something to honor him. And so they developed a Daisy Award that is just honoring those compassionate and kind nurses. So,
speaking of that, I mean, you can flip through the Newman Regional Health social media feeds.
Yeah.
I track the one on Facebook, and it seems like there is a Daisy Award nomination that takes place, if not every day, it's about every 2 or 3 days there's something posted.
Yeah, so, you know, rolling out a new initiative a couple years ago, we were worried, what if nobody recognizes anybody and this is a big flop? But we've actually had 76 nominations just since our last award in May. So to me, that just shows the quality and the compassion and kindness that our nursing staff have to get that. For people to take time out of their day to nominate these nurses, I think is just amazing recognition of them.
That's a bumper crop of daisies.
It is.
You know that?
It is.
It is absolutely amazing. That's what happens.
So, what's part of the nomination process? I mean, what do people need to do, or what are you looking for here too as well with the nominations that come in?
So we have QR codes all over the hospital that people can scan, or they can just go to our website and find that information. And then the family or other staff or the patient themselves can submit that in. And then everything comes in and is de-identified as far as patient and name of the nurse. And then they go to a committee, and then the committee kind of judges off some criteria that we have built to kind of get that overall award. So we give basically the highest score to one of our nurses. So.
Well, your committee is going to be busy then, going through a lot of applications, or nominations, I should say, huh?
We do keep them very busy.
So what does a Daisy Award winner receive? It is just basically thank you, and you've been great?
It's a recognition statue, and then we also do one of Patrick's favorite things that he wanted to eat when he was in the hospital was cinnamon roll. He didn't have any any appetite, but for some reason a cinnamon roll tasted really good. So we also, they're also getting a big pan of Amanda's Bakery cinnamon rolls for their unit. So
nice.
But a Daisy, what's a big deal, though, isn't it?
It is.
It sounds like it is.
Over 6,000 different organizations across the U.S. and internationally give the Daisy Award to. And then the recipient also is eligible. There's lots of scholarships. There's free nursing education. There's lots of things in the organization once you're an award winner that you're eligible for.
Wow, prestigious,
that's,
right,
that's
there.
Impressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned here too, but I think it bears repeating, that this really speaks to not only the level of knowledge and expertise the nurses have at Newman Regional Health, but just the level of care and comfort that they want to provide in what can be some really difficult situations.
It is. I think it's been just that nice way to reinforce what they're doing, because nurses are pretty humble and don't really expect that recognition. So it's a good way to honor them for what they're doing.
Indeed. Well, congratulations to all, even the nominees. That's neat.
So you guys will have to come by our ER waiting room on Sunday at 6 p.m. and
6 p.m.
see who
ER
the winner
waiting
is.
Room.
Okay, announced coming up this weekend.
We'll definitely do that.
Heather Elward, Chief Nursing Officer at Newman Regional Health. Well, we got more to talk about. Esther Knobloch is here joining us. Anytime we hear the word accreditation, panic ensues, to some, because it is normally quite in depth. And as far as trauma accreditation, Heather or Esther, is that the case?
That is true. There is definitely a level of some stress and anxiety that goes into preparation for that accreditation survey. But again, because we care about our community and we're wanting to just hold ourselves to the highest standard, we subject ourselves to that rigor just, again, because we want to know that we are giving the absolute best care in our community.
So this is something you don't have to do.
Correct. Yeah, this is a voluntary process that we go through, but we're willing to do that.
What type of information do you have to provide then? And really, I guess, how deep do you have to dig to get that information to back up the accreditation process?
Right. So it is a long but ongoing process. So maybe just to back up a little bit. So we are talking about our trauma designation. And so that trauma is referencing physical injury. Just with Emporia's location, we're surrounded by highways and interstates, turnpike, where there's a lot of motor vehicle accidents. We're also a rich agricultural community, and we know that just the work of farming and ranching, there's risk of injury. And then also we recognize that trauma, injury, and death is the number one pediatric concern. And so understanding that, 6 years ago, we embarked upon this journey to just really do a deep evaluation of the care that we provide to patients that come to our emergency room having suffered trauma. And so it is definitely a rigorous process. We are evaluated by the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. And so ongoing, every single trauma case that we have, we do an abstraction of all the aspects of that care, and we submit it to the state through a registry. And so they're looking at us ongoing. But then in preparation for this triannual site survey, we had to submit to them all of our policies and our protocols. And they really evaluated the continuum of care from the work that we do for prevention. So like our fall prevention stepping on classes, they looked at our car seat safety programs. And then it was definitely a collaborative effort with Lyon County EMS. So we know that they are those first responders to a trauma accident. And so Jesse Taylor, Matt Luter, they were instrumental as part of this surveyor process, as well as Abby Hogan and Nick Worthen on the hospital side.
It seems like, on the surface, you'd think, okay, it's just basically how many people come into the trauma center, metrics on how well they're cared for, that's that. But clearly you're going a couple of levels deeper than that to make sure that the accreditation really sticks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And then the day of that site visit, there was three different individuals that came. There was a physician and a nurse that are from a large tertiary trauma center, and so definitely experts in the field, as well as an administrator from KDHE. All three were on site. They did another evaluation of our documents that we had already submitted, but then they also toured the facility and interviewed a lot of our staff. So every single physician, advanced practice provider, and nurse that you meet in our emergency department has gone through special training and certification around trauma. And so they interviewed those individuals. Everyone did a great job. It was so much fun for me just to watch them share the great work that they do on a daily basis. But they definitely analyzed all aspects. So they toured an ambulance. They wanted to know what type of equipment, what protocols does those EMS responders have. And then in the hospital, they looked at our emergency room, our ICU. They toured our radiology. They went into the operating room because we know that just having those general surgeons available for my trauma patient, so Dr. Harris, Dr. Turner, Dr. Douglas, Dr. Bitter, all of them are instrumental in this program, having that 24-hour access and support from a general surgery side. And then they looked at our ICU, our blood bank. They were interested in blood bank and radiology. And it was fun. It was fun to show them our facilities and just highlight the great work that we're doing. We also, in the tour, we were just mentioning that we have a simulation lab where we do some training, both with our EMS partners as well as the hospital team. And so they were interested, like, well, we want to see what that looks like. And it was so much fun. They were so jealous. Coming from a large tertiary center, they're like, the state-of-the-art simulation that you guys have here is incredible. So it was fun to just be able to show what our community hospital has and does, really in the best interest of our friends and neighbors that we serve.
Esther Knobloch talking about accreditation fun.
Those are two words that are rarely combined in the same sentence.
She makes it seem fun. She really does, even during the day.
Yeah. Well, how long does this process, generally take, Esther?
Yeah, so Abby Hogan did a ton of work preparing for this. Again, so she's got that ongoing load of work, just that she's looking at every single case that gets discussed monthly by a trauma review committee. But then also there was several months of preparation just in submitting our documents to the state. They would look at it and get back with us, ask for clarification on different items. But then the day they were here for about 4 hours, they were on site in their suits, walking around, looking at everything. And to the most minute detail, it was kind of interesting to me not having that nursing background growing up in the lab. But just, again, understanding that when someone has experienced physical trauma, they lose the ability to regulate their body temperature. And so there's a risk for them becoming hypothermic. And so one of the things that's so critical in the care, just to provide that most optimal chance at a good recovery, is having the room warm. And so they wanted to know, what temperature can you get the back of that ambulance to? They were pleased to know that our ambulance bay is heated so that when they open those doors in the middle of the winter, they are still in a warm environment. They needed to know, what temperature do you keep your trauma bay rooms at in the emergency room, and how quickly can you get that up? And they also wanted to know, how far does a nurse have to walk from that trauma bay to get warm IV fluids and warm blankets? Mm. So very detailed aspects they were looking at. Mm.
A lot goes into that. That is for sure. So how is the how's the final results delivered? The yay or nay? How do you get that?
Yeah. So we got great news at the exit interview. They really did speak highly of the team, the work that's being done, and they also acknowledged the great relationship that we have with Lyon County EMS. So I just want to say on air a huge thank you to all of our EMS partners, and just that collaborative care that we give. And then also, so again, they shared that there was no deficiencies after reviewing all of our documents, after interviewing our team and doing the tour. The official word will come in about 90 days. So there's a process that KDHE goes through in preparing that final document. But we were super excited to just have that validation of the care that we give.
And then it's, what, every 3 years is when the accreditation process goes through? Okay.
Yep. So that evaluation process will be ongoing, but then in 3 years we'll get to have this fun day again.
We'll get to. So I assume you're going to do it again then, huh?
Absolutely. We're committed. Yes, absolutely. And we definitely need to give a shout out to Dr. Turner as our trauma surgeon.
Yes.
He, leads our meetings and keeps us in check and was there for our whole survey. So he does an amazing job. We're lucky to have him.
Yes. Thank you, Heather. Yes. So true.
Outstanding. Well, great news there with Newman Regional Health and the ongoing trauma center designation. And I guess we now get to shift over to the latest from the hospital's perspective on the really the ongoing conversations, if any, and the concerns the hospital has here with what came out really a week ago when the word started coming out about the proposed freestanding facility is what Storm of Vail is calling it right now.
Right.
Steve, I guess, looking at things, have you had some more conversations now between Newman Regional Health Administrators and Storm of Vail leadership on what the game plan is here from the hospital going forward?
A little bit. I don't know if I would say the game plan going forward, but we were able to talk with a representative from Storm of Vail yesterday. Kathy and I did. And I feel like it was a great conversation. You know, it was really, since the news has kind of, or the information has come to surface, you know, and those kind of competing factors in that news is there. You know, one of the things that we've wanted to do is not have the tension or any sort of awkwardness among our health providers in our hospital. And so, and one of the ways we want to do that is to stay transparent, continue to open the dialogue. It's an important enough topic to have the courage to talk about in an open setting, while at the same time being very sensitive to holding the dignity to all our past relationships. And so that conversation we had yesterday with Storm of Vail was a good start, starting point to share our vantage points, our concerns, you know, in a transparent way. And, you know, it wasn't too much of the details yet, but it was a starting point. So we're optimistic about that.
Well, we did have a Stormont representative here with us yesterday morning fielded a number of questions. And one thing we did want to ask them, because we felt it's important, I think we've talked to you about this too, Stephen, and that is, you know, is the patient pool, you know, in this area large enough to support two facilities, like a new freestanding and what you offer at Newman Regional Health? And Stormont said, without a doubt, according to their research, there is. So I think
right.
we may have views
right,
on that.
Right. So we've got 36,000 people in our county, close to 37,000, 24,000 in Emporia. So it wouldn't be consistent with the numbers to support two thriving outpatient facilities. And that's the different, I think. So we could have a couple. We have our hospital. We have CareArc in town, and then we have our hospital, which has a lot of outpatient facility opportunity. And then, if a new outpatient facility moved into town, just the market from a free market standpoint, it would capture enough of the market to undermine the business model of a community hospital. So in that reason is why we don't have the population to support two and allow our hospital to thrive. And I think, you know, from a free market standpoint, from a mission-centric perspective, our community hospital serves everyone. So not only the people that have elective surgeries or opportunities or need something, but we serve Medicare, Medicaid patients, people who don't have access to care, who may not have the finances to get an outpatient's even operation done. They come into our doors every single day. And that business model is a community hospital business model. And in order to help that be sustained, we have to have revenue-generating streams from our outpatient services, which I can share more about this too if you want to know, is a growing service lines on all three fronts. And we're heading in a trajectory to really capture our market. You know, what would it look like if what you once traveled out of town for, Wichita, Kansas City, or Topeka, example would be for a scan. Instead of doing that, because we currently have, bought with taxpayer dollars, all the machines necessary to do the majority of every scan downstairs on floor one. And so instead of traveling, you can just go downstairs on floor one to do that. And so those are examples of opportunities that we have that we need to continue to nurture and foster awareness to, that our patients in our community, regardless of who you choose to use for primary care, we have services that can help you not travel.
Now, one of the things that Mary Martell of Storm of Vail brought up yesterday was that the official plan from Storm of Vail, as far as the lines of service are concerned, hasn't been set yet.
Right.
Curious as to, you know, I know you mentioned concerns about mm-hmm. duplication of services with, mm-hmm. with cardiology, cath lab, GI, mm-hmm. endoscopy, mm-hmm. other services as well. Mm-hmm. Have you had conversations that have specifically solidified those? And the other flip of that is there a possibility that conversations could start towards some services being provided by Stormont Vail that don't duplicate what you're having, but
right.
still wind up being
right. Right.
Revenue producers essentially for both hospitals?
Yes. So those are two questions. Yes to both of those, and I'll answer in detail each one. My only face-to-face communication with Stormont Vail leadership about this about the topic was our initial meeting on August 21st, which that was in our letter. So in that meeting, plans can change on their side too. So I don't know all of their plans, but plans can change. But the initial meeting specifically outlined duplication of service lines that we currently have: orthopedics, cardiology, imaging, and help me out. And GI. And so those are, of course, concerns for us because we know that the business model of our community hospital will be undermined there. Now, that was the initial conversation. Since then, we've not talked about specific service lines, so I want to honor, their plans and what they're saying as professional partners. That is our perspective. And we have no reason to believe anything other than that. Based on information that we've gotten from follow-up letters or emails, but not face-to-face correspondence. That's just above the line, as honest as I can be about that.
Sure.
We know that we have partnerships right now that exist, and we made this partnership 3 years ago inside of our hospital. An example I'm going to use is the orthopedic partnership they have with Ortho Kansas. So Ortho Kansas is a state known across the state for having some of the best orthopedic care in our state. They service KU athletes. They also now service citizens of Emporia. And so that business model, an example of numbers I have, are since we've done that, our procedures have increased inside, under our roof, by 26% of our procedures have increased. And why that's important is because we have a shared reward for that. So with Ortho Kansas, we have a very high level of trust relationship with them. We have some of the revenue. We also they also get some of the revenue. We also share the risk to that. That's a partnership that both entities are able to benefit from. And those are the kind of partnerships that we know are necessary to sustain a small rural hospital. I mean, we're a large rural hospital, but rural healthcare in general. Like, how can we sustain healthcare for our citizens over time by strategic partnerships? We can't do it alone. There will always be some things that can't happen here. We don't have the population to support, like a neurosurgeon, for example. So we can't do things alone, but there are many things that we can do. And moving, I'll speed this up. I think I'm talking too long to you, Chuck. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
So we have 23 physicians, right? And in the last 2 years, we've hired 8 of those. Okay? Just let that sink in a little bit. And they're not all just family practice. We've hired 3 family practice, primary care, 2 general surgeons, an ED doc, a hospitalist, and a cardiologist. And next year, our full-time orthopedic surgeon will be, his feet and family will be in this community, living here. So all the things like with Ortho Kansas I just explained, some of our procedures are done here. Some of them still go to Lawrence because that's the relationship we have. But when we have a full-time surgeon, less people will have to travel. And that's a good news for our community, and that's the kind of growth strategy that we're postured for, that we're definitely headed towards. So that's also why it's a concern, because there is an opportunity to maximize our market inside of our community hospital, which will just fold back into our community on the economic side. Go ahead. You have a question? No.
Well, we're running out of time.
Sorry, I know I'm talking so much.
That's okay. Yeah. This is a topic that has many tunnels to travel,
yes,
that is for sure, and there's going to be more on the way. But just quickly to mm-hmm. your points,
yes.
People understand that these are Newman Regional Health employees, these physicians that you're referring to, not mm-hmm. Stormont Vail employees, and
yes.
any relationship with with the healthcare professionals for Stormont Vail has been very good, continues to be. And,
yes.
And you certainly want to avoid any awkwardness with that. But,
yes.
But the value to Newman Regional Health to have your own employees there financially is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, we have 643 individuals that we employ here. And so $53 million on a payroll that goes back in exponents back to our community, to our grocery stores. So our employee base, and since we've hired the providers, you know, that one full-time equivalent of a provider brings 5 or 6 or even 10 more employees.
Yeah.
So that's the duplication thing we're talking about with how that happens. And so, yes, Ron, I mean, it's the landscape of healthcare is changing. Nationally and statewide, we don't want to be on the background of the change. And so it's Newman Regional Health, the leadership is we will take the front line, communicate what we need to communicate, and bring the business here and keep it here. And we have to be vocal about that because we can be vocal about it because we can do those things here now, and we're proud of it.
Well, I think the educational process is just beginning.
Yeah.
We've all learned a lot,
yeah.
I think,
over the last week
the past
and a
half. Couple of weeks.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
thank you guys very much.
Steve, thank you.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you, and please keep us posted. You know, and Heather and Esther, thank you for your time with us here this morning. Really exciting news for both of your departments, and looking forward to the activities coming up Sunday evening.
Yes, we're very excited. Thank you for having us.
Awesome.
Yes, thank
Esther,
you.
Thank you. All right, Esther Knobloch, Stephen Bazan, and Heather Elward joining us here from Newman Regional Health as our morning show continues this Wednesday morning.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler, 920 Commercial, providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years.
My name is Bob Kendrick, President, Negro Leagues Baseball Media.